And go ahead and stand. We're going to read starting in verse 24. If you can go ahead and stand with me. The Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. It is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And let's go ahead and stop reading there, and let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for this time of year and the change and the colors and the weather. And thank you, Lord, for just being so good to us and allowing us all to each meet here tonight with each other and have a time of prayer and look into your word. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts tonight. I pray that this will be a time of remembering some of the things that you've done for us and then remembering some of the things that we have to look forward to. And just pray, Lord, that you would receive honor and glory tonight. In this message, bless my father as he's away. I pray that you bring him back safely, and I pray that where he's at, that he'd receive a blessing from the preaching. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to look tonight at verse 33, and that's our main text, where it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I was thinking about, you know, in the Bible, sometimes a lot of things in the Bible don't make sense to the world. For instance, you know, the way up spiritually is to go down. You have to humble yourself. God exalts the humble. The way to really live is to really die. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." And the way to get is to give. You know, we all remember the messages Pastor preached on the liberal soul that shall be made fat. And that's just one of the passages in the Bible that talks about that. But, you know, the way to receive material reward is not to seek material reward. It's to seek spiritual things that are spiritual. And so as we look at verse 33, the first thing we see, and I want to bring this out, you know, this between verses 25 and verse 33, it's really talking about things that people tend to worry about, have anxiety over. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about that tonight, but we are going to spend a little bit of time on it because that's what these verses deal with, and it's you know, people have problems at different times of their lives, and we're just going to go through that. But in verse 33, the first word here is "but," so it's showing us that we have an alternative, we have options. We're not required to do what Jesus tells us to do. It'd work out best for us. It'd work out best for our good and his glory and everybody's lives that we touch, but we're not required to. We do have options. And if you look at verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." So there's your two options. You know, if you're going to serve God, you're going to follow God, you're going to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. If not, you're going to seek mammon, and you're going to find yourself choosing the first option. This first option is to, well, it's the natural choice of our natural man. The natural choice is to seek and serve mammon. And here's the things in verses 25 and following that you're going to be seeking after. You're going to be serving food. You're going to be serving, where it says, what shall we eat and what shall we drink? That's what people worry about. That's what they consume their time with. And they end up serving food. That's what they're concerned about. That's all they're concerned about in life is, what's my next meal going to be? Even people that have plenty of money to buy food, sometimes that's what they end up doing with their lives. They end up serving food. Or fashion. In verse 25 it mentions, not to take thought for your body what you shall put on. Things people worry about. And then their physical stature, their fitness. Jesus said, you cannot add one cubit unto his stature just by thinking about it and by worrying about it. It's not going to change your physical build just by thinking on these things. And what a lot of this boils down to is finances. And that's what the mammon is. It's the riches of this world. So that's the first option, the natural choice for the natural man. And we see that the efforts are really futile. They're fruitless, they're unsuccessful, they're ineffective. By thinking about these things, by worrying about them, having anxiety over the problems in our lives, it really doesn't change anything. It doesn't help us out at all just by worrying about it. And we see in verse 30, it says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, ye, O ye of little faith? So we see that it's not only fruitless, but it's an evidence of faithlessness on our part if we're going to have anxiety over these things. Those that serve mammon, those that serve the riches, those that serve the things that Christ mentioned, they have little faith in the faithfulness of God. They may believe that God is, they may believe that God can provide for them, but believing that He will is totally different. So they don't believe that God will indeed serve those who serve Him. And as my brother tells people all the time on visitation, I've listened to him, if you bless God, God will bless you. People that have anxiety over the things of the flesh really don't have faith that God will be faithful to them. So the other option is to serve and seek God in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So I'm going to try to get through these points pretty quick, but I'm going to read several scriptures tonight. So that'll be the part that'll bless you, not the things I say. So if you think the scripture reading's going a little long, really open up your heart to it, because that's where God will really speak to you. But the first thing we see is the pursuit. Jesus said seek. And when you seek for something, that means you're really looking. You're looking hard to find it. And it's proper. And what I've called this is ambition. You've got ambition towards, in this case, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But it's proper to have ambition. And the Bible says that whatsoever we do, we're to do it heartily as unto the Lord. So that's good. And then we see it's personal. Each individual bears personal responsibility for the obedience to this command. And Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, the Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So that's up to each individual. The responsibility is really on you. It's on me for my life. If you're a teenager, your parents are going to provide for you, Lord willing, but they're going to come. You need to start seeking out the kingdom of God and His righteousness for yourself, and watch God meet the needs in your lives, in the lives of your parents, to provide for the needs that you have. So that's number one. that we need to seek, we need to pursue, and just be obedient to God in this and really look hard for it, search for God with all our hearts. Second thing, we see the priority. The Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. And the best way that I've thought about this, the best way that I can think to come up with seeing what our priorities are is to catalog our activities. What are your activities? If you look at your activities, list them out, maybe rank them from most important to least important, you'll see what your priorities are. Which ones do you have that are maybe at, which priorities should you have at the top of your list, and maybe they're not on your list at all? That's a problem. You're not seeking first the kingdom of God. Which ones, are at the bottom and maybe should be at the top, and maybe things are going well. Let's just be reminded of these things. Maybe we need to rank our activities. I think about, some of the most basic ones, and I know I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, and I'm part of it. I'm here tonight. But, church attendance is just basic. Is that a priority for you? What does it take to make you miss a service? That's, if you're not being faithful to church services, and the Bible tells us to be faithful to them even more and more as we see the day approaching. And if you're not being faithful there, then, we've definitely got problems. We're not seeking first the kingdom of God. First indicates to me that we may be seeking other things. It's as you seek first the kingdom of God, there's going to be things that you'll have to seek. But other goals in your life. We all have, most of us have jobs and school and activities we're involved in. But Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. So that's supposed to take the priority. The other things, and all these other things that Jesus said he'll add to us, as we seek out those, they need to be subordinate to and supportive of our first search. Which means if I'm seeking out something and it doesn't help in me seeking the kingdom of God, maybe I need to eliminate that from my life. If you're, and you can fill in the blank, if your activity here is not subordinate to your search for God's kingdom and God's righteousness, then you're not only inviting undue stress and anxiety into your life, but you're actually serving mammon. So whether it's a political activity or a school activity, a sport, I know people that have missed church to play video games, or they stayed up too late and couldn't get up on Sunday morning to make it to church. Those activities, maybe there's nothing wrong with that particular activity, but they've got it out of place. They're not seeking first the kingdom of God. It's not a priority. So if we can keep the other things in life subordinate to and supportive of our searching for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then they're okay, and actually God will bless it. So that brings us to the next thought here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So I could sum this up real quick and be done by just saying this: seek piety, seek holiness and godliness. But we all came here tonight, and some people drove long distances, and I want to make sure that they get more of the Word of God than just that. So we're going to look into this a little more. So you seek piety, that's a general way of saying it, but specifically, and this is what Jesus said, we need to seek His kingdom. And I want to look at that and study that out a little bit more. What does it mean to seek His kingdom? I made a note here, there's differences of opinion about what the kingdom of God is, but what I suggest and what I try to do in my life is just read the Bible, and when you see verses in the Bible that refer to the kingdom of God, read it and believe it at face value for what it says. So, but this is fact from the Bible that God does have a kingdom. God does have a kingdom. If you want to follow along with me, you can turn. Otherwise, I'll just read Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forevermore. I'm sorry, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now let's turn to Daniel chapter 7, thinking about the fact that God does have a kingdom. And I'm going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to drop down to verse 9. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and the visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. So if we look at verse 9, we'll see what some of this is. And I just switched back to Matthew chapter 6. Sorry. All right. Daniel says in verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels were as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion. And here's where the kingdom comes in. There was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. If we drop down to verse 27, it says, and the kingdom and dominion of, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So that's part of the kingdom of God. That's what we're commanded to be seeking. That's what Jesus said. If we seek the kingdom of God, all the other things in life will be added unto us. In Revelation 20, verse 4, John wrote, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And I realized that, I'm talking about the millennial reign of Christ and then the eternal age where Christ reigns and his people live with him. But, the fact is that we do have a kingdom, that God has a kingdom. And we should be in that kingdom. We should have a kingdom. We should be in his kingdom. But we're not in the kingdom yet. And, there's been some confusion amongst different people, different authors, as I've read and seen differences of opinion. But, the kingdom of heaven is at hand is something that I believe John the Baptist said. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is nigh. He said it's here, it's near. Our pastor preached Sunday morning about why Jesus should be king. And the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that we do have a king. We have King Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, it's nigh, and that the king has come. He actually came to this earth and lived and walked here. But God's kingdom is not yet come on this earth, because the builders rejected the king. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and he talks about the good deed that he had done in healing an impotent man. And then he goes on and says, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, but that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But the builders rejected the king that had come. The king came, they rejected him. The fact is, there's still builders here that are rejecting Christ. There's some builders in high places that are rejecting Christ. They do the devil's bidding. They're going to continue to do the devil's bidding and the devil's work as they try to build their own kingdom. Satan has, it's called the prince of the power of the air. He only rules in this world to the extent that God lets him rule. But he controls a lot of people in this world. But the next time that Jesus comes, the builders they're not going to be able to reject him. They're going to be defeated. They're not going to, Jesus isn't going to come and lay his life down again. He's going to come and set up his millennial reign. And that's what we need to be seeking. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11 says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged of his old sins." And this ties into the kingdom of God here. In verse 10 it says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So that just goes to show we're not in the kingdom yet, because we've got to add to our faith. We've got to grow in grace. And if we do these things, Peter says, then you will be, it says, "Entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So when we seek the kingdom of God, and we know that God does have a kingdom, and the kingdom is coming, what are the things that we need to seek? Well, number one, I believe we need to seek, when Jesus spoke these words, I believe that he was speaking to save people. It's possible that there was maybe some people on the outskirts that were listening, maybe some false disciples, I don't know. But mainly he was speaking to believers. But if you're here tonight and you're not a believer, one thing that you need to do, the very first thing you need to do in seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, is to seek entry into that kingdom. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." If we turn to John chapter 3, you see where Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So you're not going to see the kingdom of God if you're not born again. You must be born again, Jesus says later on. Verse 5, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then verse 7, he says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again." So you need to be able, you need to seek entry into the kingdom of God if you're lost. And the only way to do that is to be born again through repentance and faith. Call upon Jesus for forgiveness. Put your faith in him that he'll save you from your sin and be born again. But we also need to seek what I call the experience of the kingdom, or the existence of the kingdom, the experience that we'll have in it. We need to think about it and seek information about it, meditate on it. we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God, what are the things that we need to think about? Well, we can think about our place in the kingdom and not boastfully, but very humbly think about where we would aspire to be in God's kingdom. And what I believe about that is that, have high hopes for what God will allow you to do. Not boastfully, but, I mean, it'll make an impact on how you live your life if you are thinking about the kingdom and what position you may or may not have in the kingdom. So think about your place in the kingdom. Think about your relationship to God. What's your relationship to God going to be like during that millennial reign, during His eternal reign? And think about your eternal future, how wonderful that's going to be, to live in a kingdom of righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look," so it's seeking, "while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So that's where we need to be looking. We need to be looking for the things that are eternal. And the things that are eternal are not seen with your natural eye. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, "If ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." So to seek the experience of the kingdom, we're really going to have to take our eyes off the mammon of the world. We're going to have to take our eyes off the world's riches and the world's goods. We're going to have to set our affections, as Colossians says, on things that are above. We also need to seek the expansion of the kingdom and the interests of the kingdom. Seek the expansion of the kingdom and the interests of the kingdom. And when I think about that, think about why Christ came and why He laid down His life. It's for people, that people could be saved. And every time that somebody is born again, that's one more person that can gain entry into the kingdom of God. Are we seeking to see His kingdom expanded? Bringing people to Christ, leading them to a place where they're in submission to His lordship in their life. Matthew 4:23 tells us that Jesus went about Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We need to be sowing the word of the kingdom. In the parable of the seed and the sower, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, Jesus said, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," is what He called it, the word of the kingdom, that's the seed. And He went on to say that, and this, when He called it the word of the kingdom, He said, "And understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside." So what can we do? Well, we can keep sowing the word of the kingdom and hoping that and praying that it will get on good ground. The kingdom will be increased. It will be expanded. So that's kind of the word of the kingdom. Negatively, if we're going to look at this, if sometimes I try to think about, if I wanted to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and maybe I don't understand all about it, well, maybe there's some things that I understand that's definitely not. And what is not seeking the kingdom of God? The Pharisees were not seeking the kingdom of God. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 13, said, "Hypocrites, for ye shut up," He called them hypocrites, and said, "for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." That's what the hypocrites do. If we're not seeking the kingdom of God and we bear the name of Christ, we're a hypocrite. And what we actually do is we become a stumbling block, and we keep people from entering into the kingdom of God. So the foremost characteristic, if we're going to seek the interest of the kingdom of God, the foremost characteristic, and maybe you picked up on it as I was reading these passages of Scripture, the thing that stands out the most in the kingdom of God and that we're going to have an atmosphere of when we enter into the kingdom is it's going to be an atmosphere of righteousness. And that's why Jesus told us to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. For it to be about seeking the kingdom, then we must also be about seeking His righteousness. You will not find the kingdom of God without finding His righteousness. They go together. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Matthew 5, verse 20 says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's a pretty tall order there, that our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. When I look at Matthew chapter 5, though, I see what Jesus meant by that, as he went on and explained in the Sermon on the Mount that he says, "For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." So if we think about our righteousness having to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, the Pharisees, they said don't kill. They abided by the law. They wouldn't kill. They really didn't have a problem with hatred in their heart. What God is interested in is our heart's condition. In Romans 10, verse 10, very familiar verse, he says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." So what's your heart condition? And we all know that as a man thinketh, so is he. And what you believe in your heart is going to work its way out in your activities, in your actions. But we need to be seeking His righteousness. We're not going to, if our heart isn't seeking His righteousness, well, then we're not going to have all those other things added onto us. One thing that I want to bring out here is that there's imputed righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. The Bible tells us to make our calling and election sure. Romans 3:21 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe." So you're right, the righteousness of Jesus, it's available to every single person, but it's only applied to them that believe that'll be saved. Isaiah 61, verse 10 says, it talks about how that, I'll just read the verse. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." So there's that imputed righteousness. That's what you get when you gain entry into the kingdom, when you're born again, when it's made possible for you to, when you're removed out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light, you get that imputed righteousness. But then there's the practical righteousness that we need to be living out day by day. And if we're seeking the kingdom of God, if we're seeking first the kingdom of God, we're going to be seeking first this righteousness. And if we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind," verse 24, "and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So we want to put on this new man created in righteousness. Well, how do we do it? Well, verses 25 through 31 really goes on and through 32 and just gives us some really practical suggestions on how to do that. I'll go through them real quick. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So he gives it to us both ways. Not only do you not lie, but you need to speak out, speak the truth. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil any advantage in your life if you're seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Here we have the positive of that. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath... How do you grieve the Spirit of God? Well, it's by not letting all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away. But if you're putting it away, you're not grieving the Spirit of God, you're encouraging the Spirit of God. I'm listening to you, Lord. Continue to deal with my heart. I'm following after righteousness. And then it continues on, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the righteousness that we're to be seeking. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God. That sounds like our text in Matthew chapter 6. Then it goes on, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's the righteousness we're supposed to be seeking. Without spot and blameless. You know, I've got a spot on my shirt right now. I put my tie on so you can't see it, hopefully. You know, when I go and stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I don't want to have any spots on my garment. You know, Jude talks about hating the garment that's spotted by the flesh. If we're seeking first the kingdom of God, we're not going to have to be ashamed at His coming. I don't want to have any spot of fleshliness or worldliness on my life at His coming, but I'm really going to have to seek first the kingdom of God if I'm going to be able to stand at His coming unashamed, is in the judgment unashamed. So that's what we need to seek, the piety. We need to seek His kingdom. Along with that comes His righteousness. You can't separate the two. And then we have the promise. We don't have much time to spend here, as the promise is not really our responsibility, but let's look into it just a little bit. The promise is God's responsibility, and He is faithful. Jesus spent the previous few verses talking about how faithful He is and how much better we are than the grass and the lilies of the field, that He's going to take care of us. But God performs His part. He's always faithful. And I would say if there's one word to sum up what He's going to do, where it says, and all these things shall be added unto you, the one word that I could come up with is joy. Now, we can ask ourselves, how much joy do we have in our lives? And maybe that'll tell us to the extent that we're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Romans 4, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 1 Timothy 4:8 says that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So let's think about that life that now is. When I read in Psalm chapter 37, verse 25, the psalmist says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. That's a promise in the Word of God. We'll take things one day at a time. Seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we're not going to be forsaken. We'll have our food, we'll have our raiment, we'll have the health that God wants us to have. And whether it's a lot or a little bit, we'll have joy because we'll be having our affections things on things that are set above, not on things that are here below. Where it says that godliness is profitable unto all things in the life that is to come. Hebrews 11:35 tells us about people that were tortured and didn't accept deliverance because they were looking for a better resurrection in that life to come. That tells me that there's the possibility that, you know, if I will live righteously, seek first the kingdom of God and stay faithful in that, and live a faithful life, there's faithful unto death, faithful unto the end of my life, whenever that is, whether it's sooner or later, that I'll have a better resurrection. I'll have a better life. I'll have a better place in the kingdom of God. Hebrews 11 also speaks of Moses. And it says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. He had his affections on things above, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And Psalm 84, verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." So whether it's a lot that God blesses us with or a little, all these things that we have need of, he's going to provide for us, and we will have the joy that he promises. We'll have contentment. As we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we develop an eternal perspective concerning the things of life. And God provides for us according to his good and acceptable and perfect will. It helps us grow in faith, helps us maintain our desire to seek first the things of God, the kingdom and the righteousness. And God is faithful. He'll provide for us as we do that. So I just wanted to bring those thoughts to you tonight about the kingdom of God that we're supposed to be seeking. Pastor said that, you know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, make a good life verse for anybody. You know, we're supposed to pray that the kingdom of God comes. So I just wanted to bring a few scriptures out about the kingdom of God to help us maybe understand what we have to look forward to. So, Brother Pelican.